The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Back on Get Up, and meanwhile on Planet Earth, is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Dominique, as you watch Justin Herbert playing some hoop here and throwing it down, what thought goes through your mind?
I mean, they are playing presidential defense. That's the type of defense you play against Obama if you get invited to the White
Nobody
House. Get out of the way.
Nobody get in the lane, under the rim. No, clear lane to the basket.
If you're Brandon Staley, do you have a problem watching that?
I mean, I'm nervous. If I had my way, I would just lock him in the locker room until next season starts. But, I mean, the man's going to live.
I'm nervous because it's somebody who has fractured many an ankle, hooping it up, playing soccer. Yeah. I don't want to see something happen.
Right. Meaning you've done that?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Brandon Staley.
The former athlete like Justin Herbert.
The only thing I know about Brandon Staley is he doesn't know his team has a punter. And that seems to be his biggest problem. With that, we welcome you back to Get Up. We come to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And we are jam-packed on this Wednesday. Here we go. We're getting up with the Cowboys and Sean Payton. Is this going to happen? We will tell you why the D in Big D stands for definitely. Meanwhile, Rodgers sets a timetable. You will hear from him when we will hear from him on his next team. Don't miss it. Plus, the kid from Ohio, who reminds you of Montana, is a win away from a miracle. I will give you one reason to believe he's going to do it in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now in New Orleans, where Sean Payton announced his decision yesterday to step away after 16 outstanding seasons as the coach of the Saints. Payton said he does not plan to coach anywhere else in 2022, but he does not rule out a return to coaching in the future. That's clearly the important piece of all of this.
And I felt like it was time. I felt like it was time. You know, I kind of knew maybe heading into training camp. I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now.
Well, that's where a lot of other people's heads are right now, including our Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys for us. And I'll remind you, Sean Payton was once upon a time the offensive coordinator in Dallas. And he writes, if Jerry is going to be fundamentally fair to Mike McCarthy, he needs to make a trade for Payton since the Saints still own his rights, or come out and say McCarthy is his coach. That won't end speculation, of course. Once the season starts, McCarthy will be looking over his shoulder the entire time. Every loss will be dissected through the Payton prism. Dak Prescott's development will be evaluated through the Payton prism. Everything will be WWSPD. What would Sean Payton do? And so that's where Todd's head is. And Kmart, I want you to repeat what you told us an hour ago, but that you're hearing from the people you talked to.
Yeah, yesterday when this news broke, I called around to a bunch of people and said, what do you think about the Sean Payton news? Are you surprised? Where do you think Dallas? And people told me, oh, without a doubt, he's definitely going to end up in Dallas. There's no question. It's a matter of when, not if that happens. Obviously, Jerry Jones, Sean Payton have a connection. So it'll be interesting to see how
they have a strong connection, yes, to the point that people will say that Jerry considers one of his great regrets that he let Sean Payton get out of the building. Well, now here's his chance to get him back in the building.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that Jerry Jones has been patient with most of his coaches, but I also think that Jerry Jones has, like, this perception that he's some, like, Texas oil man who's wild. He is a Texas oil man, but he is not, like, wild. He's a calculated person. Mm-hmm. And the things that he says in the media, he uses the media as a tool. It's not a mistake. And that's why what he said last Friday really made me believe that Sean Payton was on his way there, because he kind of put Mike McCarthy in a bad spot where he's being very critical of Mike McCarthy. When everyone's asking the question, is Mike McCarthy going to be there? He talks about how he was disappointed, frankly, and how the team was not able to get better at the things they needed to get better at in the course of the season. He said that just before we see what happened with Sean Payton, and we know that they have a relationship. So I think that it's probably unlikely that it happens immediately, but honestly, I kind of feel like it's going to.
So Tim, let's live in that world for a minute, because I know you believe McCarthy will coach the Cowboys at least for one more season, and Todd Archer is acknowledging that possibility. let's think about what that's going to be like. If Sean Payton is, I don't know, if he's here or he's at one other network, some other network doing TV for a year, and the whole world is watching through that prism, that's going to be a tough situation for any coach, McCarthy or anybody in that position in Dallas, yes?
Oh, there's no doubt. And I think that, you know, McCarthy was under the microscope this past year. And I think because of how the season ended, be even under more pressure next year. And as you said, then there's this shadow of Sean Payton that's sitting out there. Look, in some ways, the way there's a shadow of Kellen Moore sitting out there. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that believe that, you know, the next Cowboys head coach isn't Sean Payton, but it's maybe Kellen Moore. So, look, I don't think that that's anything new. The only thing I would add, and basically what I said last hour, was, look, I don't think it's happening this year. And so, yeah, I think Mike McCarthy is the coach of the Cowboys this upcoming season. The other aspect of it is this. Like, I'm sure Sean Payton loved his time in Dallas. But, like, Sean Payton has accomplished enough now. I think there's enough people that think highly enough of him that when he goes somewhere, guess who's in charge? Sean Payton's in charge.
Right.
I don't think Sean Payton is looking for some type of situation where he doesn't have as much juice as anybody in the building. Like, I just, so as we say, like, oh, he loved being there in Dallas, like, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he loved his time there. I'm sure he loved his time as the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants. But the reality is also he's accomplished enough now to be the boss whenever he decides to get back into coaching.
Yeah,
that's a great point. I'm curious if Jerry Jones being patient all these years, this is not Jerry Jones doesn't do things rash, you know, in a rash fashion. But maybe Jerry Jones wants to change the way he's done things because it hasn't worked. He was patient with Jason Garrett. You know, maybe he wants a big personality. Maybe he's saying, you know what? I understand. Sean Payton is that guy, and I can take a step back. I'll still talk to the media, but this is Sean's show.
It's a really big maybe. I don't see that Jerry Jones changing his stripes today, but I do wonder how this will impact the team, because it's going to impact the team. Maybe it'll, like, the idea of Payton looming over for the entire season. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll galvanize them around the head coach that they love, and it'll bring the best out of them. Or maybe it'll undercut his credibility, which makes it even difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's the interesting part about Jerry Jones's comments that really got my attention, because he knows how this is going to play out. And I'm surprised that he would do this, given the chance that it could undercut Mike McCarthy unless he has a plan.
This season is all about what would Jerry do.
Yeah.
That, forget what would Sean Payton do. What is Jerry Jones going
to
do?
Oh, absolutely. It means that we're going to have to, despite how badly we don't want to, we're going to have to talk about the Cowboys on this program at least a little bit as we go forward. In the meantime, I want you to hear something else Sean Payton said yesterday. It made us feel good on this show. He addressed one of his regrets coach of the Saints. Listen.
My biggest regret first, besides the Ninkovich debacle, would be the double reverse against Tampa Bay.
All right, the heck with the double reverse. The Ninkovich debacle.
Ninkovich of it all.
What was that about?
That is great. I love that Sean Payton called out Ninkovich. I even texted him, like, dude, Payton's talking about you right now, about how he let you go. And he brought up the long snapper situation in that position. And Rob went, and he talked about Rob going on to win a couple Super Bowls in New England. So we're lucky to have Rob here.
It's a terrible, terrible mistake.
We know that Ninko
is a championship caliber player.
Forget Bounty Gate.
And he's
the Ninkovich of it all. That is what I will remember about Sean Payton. Letting Rob Ninkovich go. How dare you?
That's a very well made point. That is good. There's also going to be no living with Ninko this week. On Friday, just beware. Meanwhile, there's another name in the headlines. Perhaps you've heard of him. His name is Aaron Rodgers. Last offseason, by now you were well aware, he told a lot of people within the organization he was unhappy with the Packers and didn't want to return. Of note, the 49ers at the time checked in to see if he was available. Packers weren't trading him. He was hosting Jeopardy. Rodgers was coming off an MVP season then, and he had another MVP caliber season this year. We'll see if he wins it. He won 13 games for a third straight year, led the league in total QBR. It seems Rodgers and Devontae Adams are a package deal. He said he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. Adams obviously is a spectacular player as well. Rodgers, on his appearance with Pat McAfee yesterday, talking about his future. Listen.
One thing I would not do, 100% would not do, is retire and then you know, come back a year later. I'm at the place relationally with the Packers, you know, in a really good place, especially with Brian. It would be a simple conversation and not going to be any weird standoff. I've had good conversations throughout the year and it won't be a long drawn out process. And, you know, one decision that will be upcoming will be obviously Devontae, his future with the team. There still is this thing called the franchise tag. Don't think 17 wants the franchise. Like, no player ever wants. I think that should be enough time to make a decision by then. I don't want to put myself on a specific date, but I do want to be sensitive to Devontae and many other guys who have decisions to make on their own futures. And to drag it out past free agency would be disrespectful to the organization and to those guys, and that 100% will not happen.
Okay, so much interesting stuff, as there is every single week. I hope he continues to do McAfee, whatever it is he winds up doing next, because
just keep talking.
It gives us a lot to talk about. That said, I just want to recap for those just joining us. You said all year, Kmart, that you thought he had one foot out the door.
It felt like that, yeah.
The way it ended, how does it feel now? It
feels like those feet are walking out the door for good. It does feel like that. The way it ended, the fact that, you know, we talked earlier the first hour about the Instagram post, him and Devontae and the Last Dance reference to him and Jordan, you know, Jordan and Pippen, they were going to go out together one last ride. And for it to end like this, and Devontae has talked about his situation and how it didn't seem like he was sure he would be back. So the fact that Aaron is talking about that now, the fact that Aaron has brought up the roster and how a lot of guys are not under contract, going to be free agents, and how he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. If Devontae's not in Green Bay, I don't see Aaron deciding he wants to be in Green Bay.
Yeah, those pictures you just saw were posts that each of them, Rodgers and Adams, mm-hmm. posted before the season. You remember the Last Dance. We know how that ended. It certainly didn't end that way for Rodgers and Devontae Adams this year. So let's live in a world where he's leaving, Dominique. Yeah. What would be the best fit for him?
Yeah, I think it's Denver. I think that's where you need to go. They have the weapons. They don't have Devontae Adams, but they have some really good receivers, a good tight end, and a really, really good defense. That's one of the things, if you look at Aaron Rodgers' playoff history, the defense and, frankly, the special teams on that onside kick and the block punt and block field goals, those were the things that had let him down. So going to Denver would be a place where he wouldn't be concerned with that, and he would not take a step back as far as offensive line protection is concerned and weapons is concerned. I think that's a good place to go for him.
Kmart, what's the best fit?
If I'm in my feelings, I would say Green Bay, but I'm going to say the Broncos only because the Broncos were floated as a possibility earlier, but recently I've been hearing more that Aaron would be interested in going to Denver. That if it aligns, if the stars align, and maybe Nathaniel Hackett ends up there as OC, or maybe Luke Getsy as passing game coordinator, quarterbacks coach in Green Bay goes there, could we see Aaron end up in Denver? I think they've got the roster. How much do you have to give up to get Aaron is the question.
Wow, that's going to be up to the Packers. Tim, what's the best fit for Rodgers next year?
Green Bay is the best fit for him. Look, he'd make any team better. You go to Denver, you might not even win your division. You look at the situation in the NFC North. Like, they're going to, if Aaron Rodgers is back, they're going to win that division again. And look, I think part of the thing to consider when he talks about his timeline, like almost what he's saying is, look, I'm going to make my decision so that Devontae knows whether or not to re-sign with Green Bay if they offer him a long-term deal. Or, by the way, how he handles, you know, getting the franchise tag placed on him if that's, in fact, what happens. So I don't think what he's saying is like, hey, you know, Devontae's going to make his decision. He's going elsewhere. I think what he's saying is I'm going to tell Devontae my plans so he can make an educated decision on what he does with Green Bay.
I like it. I'm going to give you a different one. You know, he was bringing up Jordan and Pippen. I'm going to bring up Kevin Durant. If you can't beat him, join him. You know what? Kevin Durant went to Golden State because he couldn't get through them. I think Rodgers is going to go to San Francisco. Go ahead. He came 0-4 against them in the playoffs. That's his hometown, so he grew up in Northern California.
Wanted to go, yep.
They should have drafted him number one all those years ago. Let's right that wrong. They've got Jimmy Garoppolo. He may win the Super Bowl, and yet he's still, they need a different quarterback. And they've got Trey Lance. And if he was... Put it this way, if Trey Lance is what they wanted Trey Lance to be, I think he'd be playing right now.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I was just about to rain on your parade by pointing out the fact that they don't have any draft picks to make this trade. But I'm not here for parade rain, and I like that. That's a beautiful story. They'll figure it out. They'll send whatever they
maybe might
just write a big check. Just trade them for a check. Give Green Bay – $30 million and move on.
Do I think it'll happen? No. Do I think it's the best fit for him? I absolutely do. Coming up, what is going on in Brooklyn? James Harden expressing his frustration. 2 weeks from the trade deadline, Stephen A. Smith has the insight. He'll be in our studio. Plus, the kid from Ohio who reminds you of Montana is a win away from a miracle, and I'm going to tell you why history says he's going to do it. That's on the way. Plus this, sneaky hembo for Dominique. Who was the only quarterback drafted number one overall to win a conference championship within his first three NFL seasons? That's a good question. Oh. Answers next.
I get them wrong all the time.
Get up on ESPN.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are back on Get Up. And if I may editorialize, I love this question. It is an excellent one. So Joe Burrow could wind up winning a conference championship in his second season. The question is, who's the only quarterback drafted number one overall to win a conference championship in his first three NFL seasons?
I have no confidence because anytime I do, I get it wrong, and then Hembo's doing some silly dance. But I'm going to go with Jared Goff.
That's right.
Yeah!
That's right.
Yes! 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 Yes!
I didn't think you were going to get it. You seemed so uncertain.
I mean, because I don't know, because I get them wrong all the time.
You know who I thought it was going to be?
Who?
I thought it was going to be Terry Bradshaw.
Oh! Who
would have been right up Dominique's alley, because he is the biggest Terry Bradshaw fan in the entire world.
TB12,
but it took the Steelers a little longer to get there. Jared Goff.
Woo!
2 years later, he's in Detroit. Okay, Mina, Tim, let's do some quarterback quick reads because I'm fascinated by these. Let's talk about Matthew Stafford. Has he silenced his critics? Tim Hasselbeck.
Maybe a couple of them, but I don't think he's silencing his critics until, you know, he ends up winning a Super Bowl. He was brought there to win a Super Bowl. Jared Goff, you know, Dominique's new favorite quarterback now, he took the Rams to a Super Bowl. Like, he didn't win one. The fact that Stafford is there to win it with a championship defense. So I don't think the critics are silenced until that actually happens.
Next, QB quick read. Can Jimmy Garoppolo win a Super Bowl?
I think he can, and I think part of it is because of, you know, the offense that he plays in, the team that he's on, the play caller that he has. But, you know, I think that, you know, with the way this season has gone, because of how it's ended, I think he's playing with the most confidence I've ever seen him play with. And so for that reason, and with what they do offensively, yeah, I think they're good enough with him to get it done. I think he's a good enough player to make it happen.
All right, and then one more. Joe Burrow, can he win despite the enormous struggles in protection they have?
You know what? Like, yeah, I mean, look, he proved that he can, you know, based on, like, what they did in Tennessee. Now, and he's been dealing with it all season long. And so, yeah, one of the best things he does is create an escape. Go back to the last matchup against the Chiefs, and he was able to do that a bunch of different times. I just think the issue ends up being if you get off schedule, the Chiefs are going to score. That wasn't the case with Tennessee, and that ends up probably being the biggest problem.
I agree with you. That's a different animal. But it is worth reminding everyone that these teams did play each other, what is it now, however many weeks ago it was. Mm-hmm. And Cincinnati won that game, and they can. And I'm going to give you more reason, I promised you earlier, to believe Cincinnati can win this game. So through the history of the NFL playoffs, in the divisional and wild card rounds, there have been 25 overtime games. Chiefs just came off an overtime game.
Okay.
Do you know what the winners' records the following week are? So 25 times a team has played overtime and gone on. Do you know what their record is the next week?
No.
The answer is 7 and 18. Go ahead, Hembo, put it up on the screen so everyone can digest it. You play overtime. It takes a lot out of you. Plus, the Bengals played Saturday early. The Chiefs played Sunday late and overtime. And they, what did they win? The greatest game of all time. I think in a, if these teams played each other in a best of seven, I would obviously like Kansas City. There's a bunch of stuff I like about the Bengals.
Hembo, I need you to look up how many times Patrick Mahomes was quarterback on that team. check that out, for me, Hembo.
I run those stats.
What do you think
You're
of this
just trying to get some Skyline Chili out of the Cincinnati. I know that that's the plug here. No, I think, listen, Cincinnati with Joe Burrow as their quarterback, they are beyond confident. They beat him in week 17. They're not coming into this game thinking we have no shot. Joe Burrow has already said this is the standard. He's taken a Mike Tomlinism. Like, in Cincinnati, this is the standard. We expect to be here. So the fact that they did beat them already, they're not worried, but they understand going to Arrowhead is different. And Joe Burrow has made comments that in the past about how, oh, I played in the SEC, nothing's louder than the SEC. He's not played at Arrowhead. And he wasn't referring to Arrowhead when he made those comments.
No, I get it. But we were talking about his first playoff game.
Yeah.
And I get it. This is an entirely different animal. It's one thing when you're going up against Ryan Tannehill without meaning to be disrespectful.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But the idea that maybe that game last week takes a little something out of you, it's got to do something, right?
I think that game takes something out of the Chiefs. The win that they that Cincinnati had gives them some confidence, but they cannot have that many sacks and turnovers and have that many dead possessions.
Right.
And score as few points as they did and expect to win against the Chiefs. They're going to have to figure out a way to get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and hope that he becomes the superhero that he was the last time they played, because that's really their only hope, I would say.
How about it, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue ends up, and Dominic kind of touches on it, the negative plays. Look, there were so many negative plays because of the sacks. We've all talked about them. And so now you get off schedule. And look, Tennessee just couldn't score. And so it didn't end up being an issue just because they weren't playing an explosive offense on that day. You know, to think that the crowd noise in Kansas City, if you take that many negative plays, like I don't think you can get off schedule like that against the Kansas City Chiefs the way they were able to against Tennessee and still win the football game. So I will say this too, like, look, Cincinnati, that was a tough physical game in Tennessee. So it's not like they're a fresh football team. They got banged up in that game as well. And so that, you know, it's not like, you know, they're coming off a bye week, even though Kansas City was in an overtime game.
Now that's fair. Look, Burrow got sacked nine times.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks don't usually get hit that much. We'll see what happens. As we continue, we're talking about other quarterbacks. If Aaron Rodgers decides to pack up his bags and leave, would that be the biggest mistake of his career? We're all over that. Plus, the Cowboys and Sean Payton. Is that going to happen? Stephen A. Smith will weigh in on that possibility and more as he joins us live next. Don't miss it. We're getting up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and obviously Tom Brady's future continues to be an enormous topic around the National Football League after a disappointing loss against the Rams on Sunday. On his podcast, Let's Go with Jim Gray, he said this about his thoughts.
My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next. I would say I'm proud and satisfied of everything we accomplished this year.
So he used the word satisfied. And even Rob Gronkowski, who was on ESPN Radio last night and is his longest tenured teammate, said, I've never heard Tom use that word before. I know you seized on that.
Yeah.
But Tim Hasselbeck, you seized on the family side of this. And it's worth pointing out, you are from a football family. Your dad played, you played, and your brother played into his 40s. So with that as the perspective, when you hear Brady say that, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think that that's what happens. You know, your perspective changes from the time you're a 22-year-old athlete to the time that you're in your 40s and you have kids that, you know, their activities are getting, more significant and more demanding, and, you know, the sacrifice your family makes and, you know, everyone around you makes to continue to play football is real. And so I think when you factor in your children, your spouse, your parents, and the fact that you don't have control of your schedule because you're at the mercy of the NFL's schedule, it's real. Look, and I'm not comparing my brother Tom Brady, but the reality is he could have continued to play football. He had opportunities to keep playing, would have been a backup. But part of it was he had kids that were in high school. It was like, wait, I'm missing a lot of their lives, and before you know it, they're going to go off to college. Like, that stuff happens. Your perspective changes, and I don't care how great of a quarterback you are, you feel that, I believe, as a parent.
I think there is a good comparison to be made there, because what they both are human beings. Yeah. People with families and people with other considerations. Brady is a human being. I don't care what else he's done.
I saw blood. That's why I'm going to believe you for now, only because I saw him bleed.
And it is worth reminding again, and Nick was here yesterday when we got this, but Kimberly, I'll bring it up with you, that it was in May of 2017 that Gisele Bündchen, his wife, went on CBS This Morning with Tom and talked about concussions and talked about how scary they are for her, and says that he has had multiple of them. Now, he had never been listed as having a concussion, and that was what became the focus of that conversation then. But, you know, he got hit in this game, and there was one play where his helmet hits the ground pretty hard. And I think that her concern about his health is a real thing.
Yeah, unlike Dominique, I think the family pulling, I think that's going to be the thing that, because let's face it, you don't want to have friction in your home. I mean, he's kicked the can down the road as far as his career goes. I can't imagine Tom Brady walking away from the game, especially after winning a Super Bowl in a different city and then saying, you know what, let's run that back. Let's try to do it again. And for them to lose the way they did this season, not because of him, but because of the Antonio Brown debacle, because of Chris Godwin's injury, because of offensive line injuries, that's why they lost that game to me. I can't see him walking away, but if he does, it won't be because he's satisfied. Nobody, no maniac like this, no selfish competitor. And I say selfish not as a put down, but to be that great, you have to be selfish. You have to put your needs and what you're trying to accomplish ahead of everybody else. But at some point, when the wife is looking at you, Dominique, saying, okay, when is it my time? When is it my time? When is it our family time? It is difficult.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand. I live in D.C., and every week when I decide whether I come here tonight or not, I tell my wife, so they're asking me to come to New York, and then I wait patiently
to see
what the response is.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm not damn Tom Brady. It's entirely different. So I'm softening my stance some, and I do believe that all this matters, and his football memory bank is full. Yeah. And I do think that he probably wants to fill up that family memory bank a little bit more. But I also think that as much as his wife matters, as much as his kids matter, that all matters a lot. So does his left tackle. Mm-hmm. So does his receivers. So does his tight end. And so does his defense. If we have to forget, you said 2017 is when the quotes from his wife came out.
Yeah.
Then he went down to Tampa Bay because he was upset with not getting enough support in New England. Then he experienced what it was like to live in a world where you have all this support. And then the support fell down around him. And then we saw what happened this week. And I think that's factoring in his decision also.
Actually, first he played in two more Super Bowls in New England. Then he went to Tampa
Bay. And you tried to say he was a human.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith is on his way in the door. And for that, I present this last night's NBA game of the night with a lot of things swirling in the air, including that man, LeBron James, flying through the air in Brooklyn. And that man, his running mate back, Anthony Davis, first game after missing 17 with a knee injury, and he makes his presence felt on the first possession. The alley, the oop, and Anthony Davis was immediately getting him himself involved. On the defensive end as well, James Harden come in and AD says, get that out of here. AD would play 25 minutes, 8 points, and 4 blocks. Russell will take it on the other end. Now, under 10 seconds to play in the first quarter, Lakers are up by 6. Take a look at Harden. No good. Now we're going the other way. LeBron, 2 seconds, 1 second, up and good, beats the buzzer, so the Lakers have an 8-point lead after one. Third quarter, that lead is still 8. And here comes LeBron stepping into a 3. He had 33. The Lakers up double digits, and they wouldn't look back. 7 minutes to play in the game. Nets down by 11. Oh, LeBron's got the steal. Oh, Stephen A. Smith has made his way in studio. Take a look at that. Oh, that's LeBron going up and throwing it down. He's 37 years old in his 19th season. And then this. This is the very next possession. LeBron, the steal again, the powerful flush. He had 33, 7 boards, 6 assists. Michael Strahan there watching it and loving it courtside. The Nets fall again. James Harden frustrated.
I don't know about any reports. Of course, I'm frustrated because, you know, we're not healthy. You know, it's a lot of inconsistency for whatever reason. Injuries, COVID, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's frustrating. I think everybody in this organization is frustrated because we are better than what our record is, and we should be, you know, on the way up. So that's all it is. I don't know about reports. If you didn't hear from me, like I don't talk to nobody. I have an agent. Like, you know, if you don't hear from me, then it's reports. So, you know, just I'm frustrated because I want to win, and I'm a competitor. It's pretty simple.
All right, and so here's the frustration. James Harden last night, 33 points. The rest of his starting five had 36. He had more than half the team's assists last night. And again, he's doing it at home. They keep losing at home. And part of the reason for that is that Kyrie Irving doesn't play home games. And since KD went down, it's been a problem. And so the great Stephen A. Smith joins me in studio here, and you will notice immediately what he's wearing. We will work our way to the reasons for that. Obviously, it's the 2-year anniversary of the tragic loss of Kobe Bryant. But I want to start on this game because we were talking about it. You have expressed great frustration with the Nets,
yeah,
both on First Take and on our show on NBA sure. Countdown. Now, here, 2 weeks before the trade deadline, is James Harden expressing frustration. What do you think?
Well, first of all, what do you think, Greeny? Because here's the deal. I work with you,
yeah,
the host extraordinaire on NBA Countdown, and have I not been telling you this? Have I not been saying this over and over and over again? And you know what it came down to? I just sat up there and said I was going to wait to say it, but now's the time. You know what the real problem is? He ain't a Nick. KD's not a Nick. Kyrie is not a Nick because he talked them into coming to Brooklyn, Greeny. And so what happens is this.
Yeah.
Yeah, people will pack the Barclays Center. Where else they talking about Brooklyn? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And that's what they're finding out. And if you're James Harden, you didn't sign up for this. You didn't sign up for Kyrie to be a part-time player. You didn't sign up for KD to co-sign everything that Kyrie does because that's his boy. It's supposed to be Lethal Weapon 3. We're supposed to take the league by storm. We're supposed to put the league on notice. We coming for the chip. That's what we here for, okay? That's what you're supposed to be doing. And everything that you're doing is supposed to exemplify that. But what has happened? You know what? KD's out because of injury, because we know that KD will play basketball in his sleep. He'll mm-hmm. never let you down. He'll always show up. But all the drama that has surrounded the Brooklyn Nets, James Harden is finding himself saying, I got to carry a load that I didn't anticipate carrying. And more importantly, it's too much unnecessary drama. And it's all getting in the way. And for what? A franchise that outside the Barclays Center, nobody cares about. New York Knicks win one playoff game. And here you have people, including myself, we here. New York's going crazy. From the city to Albany to Buffalo and beyond. In Brooklyn, it's limited to the Barclays Center. The second you leave Barclays Center, what's the first thing you're doing? Complaining about traffic on Atlantic Avenue. That's what the situation is, and that's the realization that he's coming to.
So you and Michael and Jalen have been telling me that all season long. But I have always assumed this was an after this year conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this has come up so prominently 2 weeks before the trade deadline reminds me of when Odell wanted to get out of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And very conveniently, right at the trade deadline, that came up.
Right.
Do we think Harden might be gone in the next 2 weeks?
No, I don't believe that at all. Harden wants to be there. He wants to finish the deal this season.
Okay.
Now, after this season, I think he's willing to walk. Now, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, here's the issue. Kyrie Irving is a showstopper. He's box office. He's a $50 million a year player as far as I'm concerned. You walk through the turnstiles to see him play. The problem is if you were waiting in the tunnel for the team bus, the suspense, just as much as him playing, is the suspense involved. Is he on the team bus? Is he going to be there? What excuses it gonna be this time for him not to show up to work? And that's why you're the Brooklyn Nets. You can't depend on Kyrie, but you can depend on Harden, because Harden's gonna show up because Harden always wants to play. You can depend on KD because KD shows up and always wants to play. The problem is, as cool as KD is with Harden, he's just as cool, if not tighter, with Kyrie Irving. And so a lot of things that other people might have an issue with, KD has no issue with, because that's his boy. And since that's his boy and he has no issue with them, and he's KD, you got to flow with KD because he truly is the franchise. That's the dilemma that the Brooklyn Nets are dealing with right now. Harden's dealing with it now. He doesn't have to deal with it after the season.
Quickly, let me ask you the exact kind of question I would ask you on Countdown. Those teams we saw last night in Brooklyn were the prohibitive preseason favorites to make the finals. Are either, neither, or both of them going to get there when it's all said and done?
I think Brooklyn still has a big time shot to get there, because I think if Kyrie, KD, and James Harden are all on the floor, even if Kyrie is only there for road games, Brooklyn is so gifted when Harden and KD are on their game that I think it's enough for them to get out the East. I can't rule out Milwaukee, Miami, and Embiid is playing like an MVP. He's been spectacular. But Brooklyn is still that team.
Lakers, no.
KD. No.
Phoenix too good, Golden State too good.
Phoenix and Golden State and Utah, and I'm not even ruling out Memphis. I think the road to prosperity is too difficult for L.A.
We have Phoenix and Utah on ESPN tonight. I'm going to jump to the football and then work my way back. We'll finish with Kobe because there'll be nowhere to go after that. But, but certainly a huge topic of conversation with Sean Payton's departure from New Orleans, his history with Jerry Jones. He was the offensive coach there. Jerry has always lamented letting him get away. The world will connect those dots. Are you?
They should. Because guess what? If Sean Payton were in Dallas, they'd actually have a shot. It wouldn't be a black cat running around that franchise. It wouldn't be, you know, a situation where they are who we thought they are. I mean, it's Sean Payton here. He's brilliant offensively, and you see the personnel that they have offensively. There is no question that Sean Payton would make a huge, huge difference in a very positive direction. Keep in mind that they've got about, you know, I mean, you've got about 2021 free agents coming up if you're the Dallas Cowboys. You've got some decisions to make. But Sean Payton knows what to do, and he's recognized that life without Drew Brees just ain't what. You know, I mean, it just ain't the same. I mean, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, sorry, they don't quite measure up to Drew Brees. We all get that. That's why he's stepping away. He's like, enough of this. I can't deal with this. But Dallas is a different animal. And if Sean Payton were in Dallas, I dare say that I would view them differently, and I don't think you would hear me trolling them nearly as much as I do. I'll find a way.
Really?
I'll find a way. But I would have, it would have to diminish just a touch, because Sean Payton, he's a hell of a coach.
No, no, we can't have that. We need Stephen A. trolling
the Cowboys. That's right. So he would mess that up.
There are so few things in life we can count
on, I'd still figure it out, though. I'd still figure it out somehow, some way.
All right, to change the subject completely, I mean, we all talked about it on the staff. How do we note this day? It was 2 years ago today that we tragically lost one of the greatest heroes in American sports history, the greatest players and all of that, and Kobe Bryant, and obviously you are honoring him today. That's a spectacular jacket. What thoughts are going through your mind 2 years later?
I miss my brother. You know, you covered the NBA, you knew Kobe Bryant. You didn't know him if you're in the media. You didn't know him nearly as well as his contemporaries, the players, and we understand that. But Kobe and I knew each other pretty well. We talked often. He was a tremendous, tremendous individual. What I marveled at was his brilliance, not just as a basketball player, but as a man, how intelligent he was, how thought-provoking he was on so many levels, and how inspirational he was to so many people, all the little girls out there, basketball players, people in the media, people that had ambitions from an entrepreneurial perspective, the fact that he never limited himself and he wasn't interested in people who would limit themselves. The dude won an Oscar, for crying out loud, a basketball player that turned around and won an Oscar. That is who Kobe Bryant was. And I think that what is so hard, you know, him being gone, period, Greeny, is bad enough. 41 years of age with his whole life ahead of him, having a plan all along for his post-basketball era. You knew all of that. But the manner in which he departed from us, to know that his 13-year-old daughter was with him, along with seven others in that helicopter crash, the tragic fashion in which it took place is what really resonates with us. If he had died from natural causes, we'd mourn his death. We'd be very, very sad still. But the manner in which it all happened is what tears us apart. And that's something that I don't think we'll ever get over. I still remember seeing, you know, Tyson Chandler crying on the bench. I saw Tim Duncan wiping his tears. You know what Tim Duncan meant to him and what he meant to Tim Duncan. You just saw Greg Popovich and others just frozen, and just the players around the league. And he's still with us. It's incredibly painful that he's gone. And he'll forever be with us. But, you know, you honor him in the best way you can by remembering what he brought to the table.
Yeah.
And remembering what he was all about and holding sports leagues all over the place accountable. Because when you talk about Mamba mentality, you're talking about somebody who was going for it all the time, never cheating the game, never cheating the fans. And that's something that the sports world is supposed to be all about. So Kobe stays with us in that regard as well.
There will come a time, I'm sure, and I certainly hope, where seeing his great highlights and all that stuff will make you feel good, will make you feel happy. That time has not come for me. No. I still, every time he comes up, all I can think about is the sadness. Anyway, Stephen A., with more on this and other things in 15 minutes on First Take, you're the best. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
We will see you, and we will be back with more in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back on Get Up. And again, Aaron Rodgers continues to be in the center of so much of the conversation ever since the Packers' disappointing loss on Saturday night. He has plenty to say, as usual. Again, he was on Pat McAfee yesterday. Here's some of what Rodgers had to say.
One thing I would not do, 100% would not do, is retire and then, you know, come back a year later. I'm at the place relationally with the Packers, you know, in a really good place, especially with Brian. It would be a simple conversation and not going to be any weird standoff. I've had good conversations throughout the year, and it won't be a long, drawn-out process. And I do want to be sensitive to the other guys who, you know, have decisions to make on their own futures. And to drag it out past free agency would be disrespectful to the organization and to those guys, and that 100% will not happen.
Okay, so all of that makes a lot of sense. I guess, Tim, you have been on the side of the best place for him to win a championship remains Green Bay. Now that we have digested all of the challenges they will have from a cap perspective, they'll have to figure out something with him. Mm-hmm. Maybe they lose Devontae Adams. There's some pieces on the defense. Is that still the case? Do we still believe, understanding the totality of the situation, that Green Bay gives him the best chance to win next year's championship?
I believe that it is. I don't think there's a more winnable division. Think about it. I mean, you got a new coach in Chicago, a new coach in Minnesota. You know, Detroit is what it's, you know, they got a long way to go. And so, you know, going back to Green Bay with some personnel changes still puts you in the playoffs, which puts you, you know, at a arm's distance from, you know, winning the Super Bowl. And look, all these teams are going to have to make personnel adjustments. None of these teams are going to be exactly the same as they were this season. So, yeah, I think that's the best spot for him. And then I said this earlier too, Greeny. Look, getting him out of Green Bay to somewhere else is not as easy as everybody is making it out to be. He's under contract. And, you know, to set the value on Aaron Rodgers is nearly impossible. It's one of the reasons reasons that he wasn't moved, you know, a year ago is because how do you, like, what is the value for Aaron Rodgers when he's accomplished everything that he's done? And he's, look, he's going to probably win two MVPs in a row. What's the value for that guy?
It's impossible to say. Matthew Stafford went for three first-round picks, so Rodgers obviously is the greater player. So, yeah, now where are we going with all that? Let me ask you this, if I could sort of shift it a little. Is it Davante Adams dependent? Which is to say, if Davante is one of the pieces that isn't back, Neek, does that change your perspective?
I think it absolutely changes perspective because that is their offense. Mm-hmm. Their offense is Davante Adams' focus. Even when he doesn't have big games, he opens it up for other people. I do think I mentioned several times that Denver is the right place because if you want to replicate what Tom Brady has done, you know who did it first? Peyton Manning in Denver underneath John Elway. So, and he has a situation where I understood that part of his issue in Green Bay was not having enough influence. Maybe they've addressed that some, but right now in Denver, they don't have a head coach. So, like, if he wants to have influence, he can go there and be a part of that decision-making process.
Well, they don't have a head coach by the time he signs somewhere. They're going to hire a coach in the next week or two. They have to, don't they?
Well, that doesn't mean that he can't
hire someone he likes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that his agent can't have some influence.
That's the key.
Who is that person?
Who is the head coach in Denver? Like, I've heard Aaron is amenable to Denver, provided that you bring somebody from Green Bay. Nathaniel Hackett, their OC, their quarterback coach, passing game coordinator, Luke Getsy. Can somebody from Green Bay come to Denver? That seems like a really great situation for Aaron, provided that you don't have to dismantle the roster and give a ton of pieces back to Green Bay for Aaron. But I see where Tim is coming from when you look at the division. It's always the Packers as long as Aaron is there. One thing can I mention? What do we think about the Titans? Yeah. Keyshawn brought this up on KJM this morning, and I could not disagree. As much as I wanted to disagree with Keyshawn, I could not disagree with that. The Titans,
they're in one of those divisions that should be easy to win.
An easy division.
But they don't have the secondary issues. I guess if I'm looking for the best roster, I don't think the Titans have the best roster. They have issues in the secondary. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers goes anywhere, they become a contender. Right. But I think Tim's first point is an important one, is it's going to be hard to come up with the compensation needed to get Aaron Rodgers to go anywhere.
Well, let's put it this way. If Aaron Rodgers had been the quarterback of Tennessee on Saturday, they would have won that game by three touchdowns, and then we can start figuring it out. Oh, please. We can start figuring it out from there.
Did you watch what happened in the game they played?
Did you watch Ryan Tannehill in the game that he played? His team had nine sacks. You don't think he wins that game? Aaron lost on a blocked punt, for crying out loud.
They both are humans, guys. They both are humans.
We're going to continue yelling at each other as we go. And then First Take will start, and that's their specialty. Coming up next on First Take, are James Harden's frustrations justified? And is it time for the Packers to move on from Aaron Rodgers? Stephen A., Molly, J. Will, Marcus Spears, and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Today's Military. And we just have a few seconds left. Neek, thank you very much. Outstanding work as always.
Same to you, Mike. You were fantastic today.
Yes, we just had a few seconds to kill. Enjoy the rest of it. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.